الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وقال سبحانه وتعالى والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو نظرة فاسترى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما تغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى وقال سبحانه وتعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers, my sisters, and my little ones, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by thanking the management of this school and all my Muslim brothers and sisters of London for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accept these efforts of yours in listening to this message. Secondly, conveying this message to those of our brothers and sisters to whom Allah did not give the tawfiq to participate in this blessed gathering. And the most important thing is that whatever we learn today, we take home and we try our utmost best to bring into our daily life. The teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I pray to the Almighty Allah, that Allah give me the tawfiq to say what is haq, what is right. And Allah says give me the tawfiq to act upon the message that I convey to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى By the star when it goes down مَا ظُلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا هَوَى Your companion has not gone astray and nor has he deviated وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى He does not speak out of desire, it is not the revelation revealed unto him عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى He has been taught by one mighty in power, one defect in body and mind. He rose and became stable whilst he was in the highest part of the horizon. Then he approached and came closer. فَكَانَ قَالَ قَوْسَيْهِ وَأَدْنَى. And he was two rows length or even nearer. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And Allah revealed to his servant that what he revealed. مَا كَسَدَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. And the Prophet Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart did not lie in what he saw. أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَىٰ مَا يَرَىٰ. Will you still then dispute with him in that what he saw? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ. And indeed he saw him a second time in the Sidratul Muntaha. Near Sidratul Muntaha. إِنَّهَا جَنَّةَ الْمَقْرَىٰ. And near Sidratul Muntaha is Jannatul Mahwa. It is just the Sidra of our Yaksha. When that covered the low tree which did cover it. مَا جَاهُ الْبَطْرُ وَمَا تَهَا. The sight did not swerve and nor did it transgress beyond the limit. لَتَذَرْعَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَىٰ. And indeed, he saw from amongst the major signs of his Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed signs to his prophets and he honors them in different ways, according to their rank and their status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Those are the messengers. Some of them we have given excellence over others. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. From amongst them is he who Allah conversed with. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضُهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And some of them he raised steps higher. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And we gave Isa, the son of Maryam, clear proof. And we supported him with the Holy Spirit. Different prophets Allah shows different signs according to their rank and status. When it came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him by conversing with him without the aid of an angel. And Allah called out, Ya Musa, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِنَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي. O Musa, I am your Lord. فَخْلَنَا عَلَيْكَ. Take off your shoes. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. You are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُ. I have chosen you. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِنَا يُوحَى. So listen to that which is being revealed. I am the Almighty Allah, and there is no God worthy of worship of me but me. So worship me and perform prayer for my remembrance. How do you think that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam felt when he heard the Lord of the earth and kursi conversing with him? Indeed, he was on such a high. So when Allah just asked, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ. O Musa, what is in your right hand? And as Musa alayhi wa sallam continued, هِيَ أَصَايَا أَتَوَكُّ عَلِيَا وَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ ظَنِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. All he had to say, here, O Allah, it is my staff that is in my right hand. But as Musa alayhi wa sallam, because he was getting a bird conversing with the Almighty Allah, he said, O Allah, it is my staff. I do this with it, and I do that with it, and I do that with it. This is how Allah honored Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. But when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked for a thing far greater, and said to Allah, Ya Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. O Allah, I beg you, reveal yourself, show me yourself, so I can see you with my eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, this is not for you, Musa.
You can never see me, لن تراني. ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. Or Musa, look at the mountain. If the mountain stays where it is, you will see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صائقا. And when his Lord appeared before the mountain turned to dust. And as Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام fell unconscious. And when he recovered his sense, he said, Subhanak, O Allah, glory is to you. O Allah, I repent. And O Allah, I am brought from first from amongst the believers. When it came to Ibrahim a.s., the Quran says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْتِنِينَ. And we show him the kingdom of the heavens and the earth so that he be one of those who believe with certainty. The commentators of the Quran in this verse of the Quran write, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heavens and the earth for Ibrahim to see everything that is within them. However, when it came to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in a way like he has never ever honored anyone before him and like he has never honored anyone after him. 1 year before he migrated to Madinah al-Munawwarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa. And from there Allah took him to the seven heavens and above, heaven and hell, and then to where no human and no angel has ever been before. This hospitality is known as the Mi'raj, the ascension and the journey to the heavens. And before I describe the details of this hospitality, I want to share with you four events of great importance that took place before this hospitality, before this journey. And only then will we be able to understand as to why Allah honored our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner, and why Allah took him where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never ever taken anyone before. Four great events happened, and three happened a year before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to the heavens. The first event that took place was the social boycott. Now the Quraysh, the Kuffar, when they saw Islam creeping in to the land of Arabia, first it was those considered weak in society. They were saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And now all of a sudden, the noblemen, the likes of Hamza, he said, La ilaha illallah. The likes of Umar Farah, he said, La ilaha illallah. Once upon a time, the people were afraid to pray, and now, because of the likes of Umar, everybody is now started praying openly. The Muslims that migrated to Habasha, instead of persecution, the Abyssinian king is protecting the believers. When they saw that Islam is getting stronger by the day, they decided to boycott the believers and the tribes of Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib. What will they do? They will not buy, there will be no business. They will not buy anything from them and they will not sell anything to them. There will be no intermarriage. They will not marry their daughters and they will not give their daughters in marriage to them. And there will be no social relationship to the extent that there will be no visit. But they went as far as this, that they will not speak to Muhammad, his companions, or any member of the tribe of Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib till they do not give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to them so that they can tell him. This is what they decided. And they wrote this on a document. And just like any other important document, they hung it on the Holy Kaaba. Now, the Muslims and the tribes of Abdul Muttalib and Banu Hashim are forced to live in a narrow path on the outskirts of Makkah. And they stay there for 3 years. And because of these boycotts, such became of the Muslims and these tribes in general that no food would reach them. Because the Mushrikeen would buy all the food coming into Mecca. And because of this, their children would cry due to starvation. Let me just relate to you some of the narrations that Suhaili has related in Northern Uluf. This will give you an idea of what the Muslims went through in these 3 years. Suhaili has related the tradition. He says, كَأَنَّهُمْ جُعِلُوا حَتَّى أَسَلُوا الْخَبَثْ وَوَرَثَ الْتَمَرْ حَتَّى أَنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ لَيَبَعُوا كَمَا تَبَعُوا الشَّعْرِ. That the Muslims and these two tribes were put to so much difficulty that they began to live of leaves of trees and skin of dead animals. This is what they would eat. To the extent that he described that their stool, it became like the dropping of goats. The great Muslim general, Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was also there, he says, one night I came out and my foot took something wet. He says, I picked it up and I ate it. And to this day I swear by the Almighty Allah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas does not know what he has eaten on that day. He says, on another occasion I come out from Istinja to relieve myself. And as I'm relieving myself, I can hear the rattle of something beneath me. I pick it up. And it turns out to be the skin of a camel. He says, I wash this, and then I burn this, and then he says, I crush this till it becomes powder, and I add this with water, and this gave me strength for 3 days. So here he said, right, that when traders would come to Mecca to sell their goods, and the people from the world, and if now a part would come to buy food for their children, Abu Jahl would tell the traders to increase their prices so that these people cannot afford to buy the goods. And at the same time, he would promise the traders that if they made a loss, he would take care of them and he would give them the money. And because he was a rich man, the traders would do as he said. And the people and Muslims and the people of these two tribes, Banu Abdul Muttalib, Banu Hashim, would return to their children with nothing to give them, and their children would suffer. And by the day, their elderly and their children were becoming weak. For 3 years, this was the condition of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the condition of the group of believers, and this was the condition of these two tribes. And it was in this period that the daughters of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just because their father said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and they were married to the sons of Abu Jahl, he forced his son to divorce the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because this man claimed that he's a prophet. This was the first incident that took place. And I want you to bear this in mind, that for 3 years our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been persecuted. And he comes out when his boycott comes to an end. And this boycott comes to an end because these very kuffar, when they saw the condition of their relatives and saw them suffering, they themselves put an end to this boycott because they could no longer see their own flesh and blood suffer. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now comes out of this boycott. He comes out of this boycott. A very short period passes, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dearest uncle, Abu Talib, he leaves the world. And this indeed was very difficult on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Abu Talib, and Abu Talib loved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just mentioned briefly about the boycott. For 3 years whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, not once did Abu Talib allow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sleep in his own place. Every day he would make sure that either he slept in the place of Rasulullah, or either one of his sons slept, or either one of the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept there. If the kuffar decided to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would not succeed in their plot. This was Abu Talib, and this is how it's not. He had to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've got to remember, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Abu Talib as a child. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was even born, Allah took his father. He comes into the world. A short time passes, and Allah takes away his mother. Then he goes to his grandfather, and Allah takes away his grandfather. And at the age of 8, he comes to Abu Talib. And he stays in the care and protection of Abu Talib for 40 years. Abu Talib was everything for him. Abu Talib was his mother. Abu Talib was his uncle. Abu Talib was his father. Abu Talib was everything for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And though Abu Talib had children of his own, he always gave preference to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Asakir related a tradition on the authority of Jahna, and this will show you how much love Abu Talib had for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. Jahna related that I came to Mecca, and it was a rainless year, there was a drought. And the Quraysh came to Abu Talib and they said to Abu Talib, Abu Talib, the body has become leafless. Our children are suffering. Let us go to the Holy Kaaba and let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. The narrator says, Abu Talib came and he took with him a boy. And this boy was not his son. This boy was none other than Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And the narrator says that this boy was so beautiful that he looked like the sun. And there was a black cloud above his head. And Abu Talib takes this child before him. And they stand next to the wall of the Holy Kaaba. And this child raises his hand. And Abu Talib raises his hand. The narrator says there was not a single cloud in the sky. But when this child raises his hand, all of a sudden clouds come from nowhere and it begins to rain. And it rains so much that springs begin to flow and plants begin to grow. And Abu Talib, as a result of this, he would recite a couplet and he would say, with regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would refer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this couplet and he would say, أَبْيَرْ يُسْتَفْقَ الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ سِمَارُ الْيَتَامَ إِثْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ. Referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how blessed he was, he would say, so beautiful and white and radiant is this Muhammad that through the blessings of his faith, rain is asked for from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this couplet, on one occasion, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinah al-Munawwara, and there was a drought, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, and the inhabitants of Medina, they come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we beg of you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray for them. And again they learn to say, وَمَا نَرَى فِي السَّمَاءِ قَدْعَةً. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hand, there's not a single cloud in the sky, and when he raises his hand, all of a sudden, clouds come from nowhere, and it begins to rain. And it rains so much, that the very people that had asked for rain now come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they complain, Ya Rasulullah, there is too much rain, our crops are dying. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again raises his hand. Allahumma awalayna wa la alayna. O Allah, send rain upon our surroundings and not upon us. And it stops raining. On that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلَوْ أَدْرَكَ أَبُو طَالِبْ هَذَا الْيَوْمْ لَصَرَّهُ. If Abu Talib were alive today, and if he were to see what had happened, this would please him, and this would have made him happy. So one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you referring to his couplet, وَأَبْيَدْ يُسْتَسْكَ الْغَمَانُ بِوَكِهِ, that Abu Talib would say, okay, so why and beautiful is he, that through the blessings of his faith, rain is asked from the Almighty Allah. Okay, Ya Rasulullah, are you referring to that? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, yes, I'm referring to that. This was the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Abu Talib, and that was the love that Abu Talib had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 40 years he protected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah ordered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare openly the message, فَصْدَ بِنَا تُؤْمَرْ وَعَرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins openly now to call the people of Makkah to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The kuffar of Makkah, they approach Abu Talib and they say to Abu Talib, O Abu Talib, we want you to intervene. O Abu Talib, this man Muhammad is your nephew. Advise him. O Abu Talib, can you not see? He mocks our religion. He degrades our forefathers. He insults our way of life. O Abu Talib, either you stop him, or either you move out of the way and let us get to him. We will rid you of his evil. You and we are both together in opposition to him. Every time they would come to Abu Talib, Abu Talib was the one that would protect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would send them away. And they could not kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of Abu Talib. Because Abu Talib enjoyed a very powerful social status. And it is because of this, they could not kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues preaching. And again, they come to Abu Talib, and this time, they say to Abu Talib, oh Abu Talib, and they insist that he intervenes and stops Muhammad from calling people to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And they threaten him, that Abu Talib, if you do not stop him from doing what he's doing, then you will this time pay for the consequences. This was the first time that they threatened Abu Talib, and Abu Talib stopped this, and he called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, he did not want to forsake Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and desert our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he explained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my nephew, your people have come to me. Please do not burden me with that I cannot handle. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to his jada, كَيَا عَمْ لَوْ وَضَعُ الشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي يَسَارِي عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَتْرُكَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ حَتَّى يُظْهِرَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ أُهْلَكَ فِي مَا تَرَكْتُهُ O jada, if they were to place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left arm, that I leave this cause till Allah makes me victorious, or I perish therein, O jada, I will never leave it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to leave. And when Abu Talib leaves, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feels that now Abu Talib will no longer help him, no longer protect him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to leave. When Abu Talib sees that his nephew is in distress, he says, يَا ابْنَ أَخِي فَقُلْ مَا أَحْبَبْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أُسَلِّمُكَ لَشَيْءٍ أَبَدًا O my nephew, say whatever you want to say. Convey the message of Allah. By Allah, I will never forsake you and I will never leave your side. And when the kuffar see this, that their threat and their enmity and their hatred has had no effect on Abu Talib, and Abu Talib will keep on supporting his nephew, this time they come with a boy, a young man called Amarah ibn al-Walid, and they come to Abu Talib and they say, oh Abu Talib, this is Amarah ibn al-Walid, he is a young man still in his bloom. Take advantage of him, take advantage of his strength, of his mind. Take him as your son, give us in turn your nephew. A man for a man, we will kill your nephew and we will rid him of your evils, and you can have Amarah ibn al-Walid in exchange. Abu Talib, on that occasion, again turns them away and says, can you give me your son that I look after him, and I'll give you my nephew that you can kill him? You do as you please, I will never give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you. To the extent that for 40 years he put himself to difficulty. He put his family to difficulty. And he tolerated everything to the extent that when Abu Talib was on his deathbed, when Abu Talib was on his deathbed and the Quraysh came for a final time, okay, maybe now that Abu Talib is leaving this world, he will hand Muhammad to us. They took advantage of this situation even on his deathbed. Abu Talib did not forsake Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not hand him over to them. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood and knew himself that Abu Talib is the wall between him and the kuffar. Balki, there is a narration from Umar ibn Zubair alayhi that after the death of Abu Talib on one occasion, the kuffar, a kafir, took some dirt and he threw it on the blessed head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the lowest thing that somebody can do, that they consider Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so insignificant that he's walking, that he picks up some dirt and he throws it on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes home, and when his daughter sees her father covered in dirt, she stands to him and she begins to clean the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with tears flowing from her eyes. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to his daughter, Ya Bunayya, la tabki fa inna Allah mani unabar. Oh my daughter, do not cry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your father. On that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا نَالَتْ مِنِّي قُرَيْشٌ أَسْرَعُ حَتَّى مَاتَ أَبُو طَالِبٍ. That the Quraysh were not able to do anything to me which I disliked till Abu Talib left the world. It was because of this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Abu Talib. And he loved him so much that when Abu Talib refused to declare La ilaha illallah and he left this world in this condition, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكْ مَا لَمْ أُنْعَأَكْ. I swear by the Almighty Allah, I will keep on asking Allah to forgive you till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prohibit me and does not stop me. This is when the words of the Quran is revealed. ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. It is not proper for a prophet and it is not proper for the believers to ask forgiveness for the polytheists, even though they be of kin, after it has become apparent that they are the hell dwellers. And this is when the verse of the Quran is revealed. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you do not have the power to give guidance to who you want. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That power only rests in the hands of the Almighty Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides and chooses who He wants. Now how do you think Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, after 3 years of persecution now, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم loses his uncle who protected and cared for him for 4 years, how do you think Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم fell that after? And if this wasn't enough to break the back of any man, any human being, 3 days after the death of Abu Talib, some narrations suggest, and our mother, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, leaves the world. And Khadija, indeed, I swear by the Almighty Allah, Hazrat Khadija was Khadija. Imam Muslim relates to the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, says, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to slaughter a goat, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make sure that he sent some portion of the goat, some meat, to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija is long gone, and you are still sending meat to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to our mother, Ya Aisha, inni la uhibbu habibah. O Aisha, I love the friend of Khadija. How much love do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for our mother Hazrat Khadija? That years have passed and he's still giving meat to the friends of Khadija, just because they were the friends of Khadija, because they had a connection and a ta'alluq with his wife. And if this is how much love he has for Khadija, Khadija's friend, then how much love do you think he has for Khadija? This is why our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, says, that are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never envied anyone as much as I envied our mother, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Why? Because every time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make a mention of Khadija, he would make a mention of her and he would praise her and he would say good things about her. And she says, on one occasion, I annoyed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha, I cannot do anything. It is the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi that has placed the love of Khadija inside my heart. On one occasion, after the death of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, her sister Ala comes to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She asked permission to enter. Now her voice resembles the voice of Hazrat Khadija. And when her voice entered the blessed gate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remembering Khadija, overwhelmed with emotion, said, it must be Hala. Now our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was there at the time. And she said, I was annoyed. And I said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you remember an old woman that has died years ago when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you better ones? She was referring to herself. That Khadija has died long ago. Allah has given you better women and yet you are still thinking about Khadija. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion said, Ya Aisha, I can never forget this woman. Why? Amarat bihi nasafara bi annar. She was the one, the first one to believe in me when everyone else rejected me. وَصَدَّقَتْنِهِ نَكَذَّبَنِي النَّارِ. She was the first to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When people were calling Muhammad a liar, she was the one to comfort me when nobody was willing to give me a helping hand, and she was the one that gave birth to all my children. And this is the reality. Before she even married Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was a businesswoman and she was sending her merchandise to Syria, and she is informed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is willing to go with her merchandise. She offers Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam double the rate which she would pay for the people just because it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a very wealthy woman, a very beautiful woman, a very intelligent woman. Noble men, great men asked for her hand in marriage, but she said no. But when it came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija herself, through her friend Nafisa, told Nafisa to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be willing to marry her, and she became the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the first one to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so worried, who did he send to? He sent to Khadija, and he said, and he came rushing to Khadija, Zamminuni, Zamminuni, O Khadija, cover me, O Khadija, wrap me in a blanket. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Khadija of what happened, and he said to Khadija, Khadija, I fear for myself. She was the one that stood at the side of Rasulullah, and she consoled him, and she comforted him by saying, Wallahi, la yuhzika Allahu abada, innaka latakunu rahim, wa taktunu al-ma'dum, wa tukri'u al-zayf, wa tu'inu ala nawa'im al-haq, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, Allah will not displace you, Allah will not forsake you. Why? Innaka latakunu rahim. You are the one that unites the ties of relationship. You are the one that carries the burden of the weak. You are the one that earns for the destitute, wa tukri'u al-zayf. You are the one that honors the guest, and you are the one that helps those in distress. And then she texted to her cousin Waraka ibn Nawfal, who explained that this person that you met was the angel Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. She was the one that gave birth to all Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's children, other than Ibrahim. She gave birth to Abdullah, she gave birth to Fatim, she gave birth to Fatima, she gave birth to Raqiyah, Umm Kulthum, and she gave birth to Zainab. For 25 years of her life, and in spite that she was a very wealthy woman and a very rich woman, she herself took it upon her to serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by herself and in person. And on one occasion, she's seen in the streets of Makkah, and she's carrying the dinner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking for Rasulullah. On the way, she meets the angel Jibreel, not knowing that this is Jibreel, as Jibreel has taken human form. Jibreel asked with regard to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She fears for herself, and then she relates this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Yo Khadija, that was Jibreel. He conveys to you the salams of Allah, and Jibreel gives you the tidings of a house in paradise made out of jewels in which there will be no noise and no toil. This was Khadija. How much love do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Khadija? And how do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought? 3 years of persecution, and after this Allah takes away his uncle who protected him for 40 years. And after this Allah takes away Khadija, who stayed by the side of Rasulullah for 25 years, and so much love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Khadija, and so much respect that he had for Khadija, that he did not marry a single woman while Khadija was alive. But how do you think now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought? When you study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will conclude that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very, 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 very strong personality. And in spite of his strong personality, that year in which Abu Talib and Khadija died, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would call that Aam al-Huzn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would call that the year of grief. And if this was not enough to break any human being, then the fourth incident takes place. Things have become so hostile in Makkah that the people of Makkah now openly giving trouble to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers. And it has become so bad in Makkah that his best friend Abu Bakr, to save himself from persecution, decides to leave Makkah and is wanting to migrate to Habsha, where the other believers have migrated. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, realizing and thinking that these people will not embrace Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thinks that the people of Taif will embrace him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves for Taif. And he leaves with his free slave, Zayd ibn Haritha. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was expecting that the people of Taif would be receptive to him. Yet, in Taif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sustained such tortures that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sustained before this, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sustained after this. He makes his way with Zayd ibn Haritha, and they reach Taif. And they meet the family of Umair, who were the nobles and the chief of Taif. And the three brothers become deaf and blind to the commands of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They become deaf and blind, and in turn, now they begin to mock Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one mocks him and says, if Allah has sent you as a prophet, then I will rip the cloth of the Holy Kaaba. And the second one says, couldn't Allah find anyone other than you to become a prophet? And the third one mocks, if you truly are the messenger of Allah, then it is too serious to retort you back. And if you are not the messenger of Allah, then it is not worth me speaking to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, realizing that these people are not going to embrace Islam, he conveys the message inside secretly and meets them one by one. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spends 10 days there conveying the message of Allah. Now to hasten Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure, the people of Taif, they stand in alleys on either side. And they take stones, and they begin to pelt Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with stones. They are laughing, they are mocking, they are jeering, they are shooting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time the stones are hitting him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits down. He's covering himself, he's taking protection. But then they come to him, and they pick Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up, and they keep on dancing, and they keep on laughing, and they keep on mocking from head to toe. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is covered in blood. And they do not leave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this. And now they chase him outside Taif in the sandy plains for 2 to 3 miles. They are chasing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are following him till Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the foothill of some mountains, and there are many orchards. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests there. When the whole world turns against him, this was the time when he raises his hand and he prays to the Almighty Allah, اللهم إليك أشكو ضعف قوتي وقلة حيلتي وأواني حال النار. يا أرحم الراحمين أنت رب المتضررين، أنت ربي، إلى من تكلني؟ إلى بعيد يتجهمني أم إلى عدو ملكته أمري؟ إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي، ولكن عافيته هي أوثر لي. أعوذ بنور وحيك الذي أشرق له ظلمات وصلح علي أمر الدنيا والآخرة أن ينزل بي غضبك أو يحل بي سخطك. لك تصبح حتى ترضى، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. The remarkable thing is that in spite that he's conveyed the message for years, day and night, when this is what he received at the hands of the people of Taif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blames none other but himself. And he says, Allahumma ilayka ashku dhu'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you about my weakness. Wa qillati hilati. Oh Allah, my lack of ability. Wa hawani ala an-nar. And my insignificance in the eyes of the people. He's saying to Allah, to Allah, it is not them people, it is Muhammad. Maybe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not know how to convey your message. This is why these people are not being receptive to me. And Arhamur Rahimeen, you are the most merciful, are the merciful. Anta Rabbul Mustadafeen. Oh Allah, you are the Lord of the weak. Anta Rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. Inna man takilni. Then he asked the Almighty Allah, oh Allah, who will you abandon me to? To a distant relative who will suddenly frown upon me? And ila aduwwin ballatahu amri. Oh Allah, will you abandon me to an enemy to whom you have given control over my affairs? He says, إِلَّمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ. Look, Allahu Akbar. He says to the Almighty Allah, إِلَّمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِ. Oh Allah, the thing that worries me is your anger. Oh Allah, if you are not angry with me, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not bothered what these kuffar do to him and how they kill him. And whatever they do to him, it doesn't bother him. وَلَكِنْ أَعْفِيَتَكِ يَا أَوْتَرِي. Oh Allah, one thing is apart, that your protection is better for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will ask Allah, oh Allah, I seek protection in the light of your face, which dispels darkness and illuminates the heavens, and which controls all the affairs of this world and the next world. Oh Allah, let it not be that you ever be angry to me, or your anger ever descends upon me. And there, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in that orchard and he's making that dua. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in such a condition that the two sons of Rabi'ah, kuffar, non-believers, pity Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they send their Christian servant with a tray of grapes, And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes these grapes in the name of Allah, ke bismillah. And when this Christian slave hears these words, he says, ke these are not words of Islam. People don't say these words. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him his name and where he's come from. He replies, I'm a Christian. My name is Adda. I come from Nineveh. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, can you come from the land of Yunus ibn Makkah? He's surprised. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you know who Yunus ibn Makkah is? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, ke he is my brother. He was a prophet and I am a prophet. And when he hears this, he kisses the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His masters reprimand him and he says to his masters, there is nobody on the face of the earth better than this man, because this man has informed me of something that only a prophet can live for. In the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, in there it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by another asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you ever experienced a day far greater than Uhud? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Uhud was very different from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sustained many injuries. So all of us asked him, Ya Rasulullah, have you ever experienced a day worse than Uhud? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to the day of fire. And in that narration it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it grieves, leaves time, healing of anything around him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets to a place called Qarn al-Sa'arif. And there he raises his head and there is a cloud. And Jibreel calls from above, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, how your people have responded, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel of the mountains is at your disposal. Order this angel as you please. The angel appears before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and calls up to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the angel of the mountains. If you wish, I can cloud these mountains and these people will be no more. What do you think now? The point that I'm making here is, what do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced? That the angel of the mountains is before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just after raising eyebrows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put this game to an end within a second. 1 second, and Allah will put an end to this game. The people of Makkah, the people of Ta'if will be no more. What do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sustained on that day? That Allah was prepared to put everything to an end. The Prophet of Mercy replied, but how do you think Allah min aslabihim? If these people do not declare La ilaha illallah, I have hope in the mercy of the Almighty Allah that Allah will take from their progeny. And their name, those that say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And this is exactly what will happen when Bayat was spoken. These are the four incidents that took place. And only Allah and Allah alone knows how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought. 3 years of persecution, then goes Abu Talib, then goes our mother Hazrat Khadija, and after this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tortured in a manner like he's never been tortured before, and he's never been tortured thereafter. Only Allah and Allah alone knows how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought. One thing is a fact, just one of these incidents is enough to kill the strongest from amongst us, and make him bow down. After this now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah wants to put our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rest. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what this game is all about. And Allah shows him his kingdom. What is all about? And Allah takes him from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from there to the seven heavens and above, and to then where no human and no angel has ever been before. Not only was this journey and hospitality from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the struggles and difficulties that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured. How we console someone if our child's been crying or experienced some difficulty, how we embrace him and we take him and we make mu'anata, embrace him and give him comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfort by calling him. The Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come, let me show you what this is all about. And Allah calls into the heavens. Not only was this compensation for the trouble that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured, in this mi'raj, in this ascension, there was an indication that this world and everything within it is about this man, is about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Quran mentions this in the words, سبحان الذي أطرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه السميع البصير. He glorified is the one that took his servant in part of the night from Masjid al-Aqsa, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, to the one whereof we have blessed, so that we may show him our signs. Allah starts the verse with Subhan. The word Subhan is to introduce a marvel. Okay guys, what's coming up to this is something big. It's not a joke. And the one that is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one that has power over everything, the one that is pure from all defects, he's the one that has made this possible. So it starts with the word Subhan, glorifying his hate. And at the same time Allah used words, the word Abd, which means slave. A slave is a combination of body and soul. To tell you guys, this is no joke, this wasn't in a dream. This was real. Body and soul. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person was taken. Then Allah uses the word layman, a common noun, to tell us that this journey wasn't complete now. Only in a part of a night did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his power, which is madness, Allah took our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, seven heavens and above, and to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go. And what happened? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping in the house of Umm Hanish, which was near the gorge of Abu Talib, where the Muslims suffered for 3 years. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping there when all of us summoned one night. Bang! And the roof opens. And Jibreel al-Amin with a group of angels descend. And they take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Hatim, to the Holy Kaaba in Masjid. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes where the Hatim is. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeps. Hatim is the part of the Kaaba where we have a wall. It's about 6 foot wall. And it's a semicircle. This is part of the Holy Kaaba. And those that pray inside this have prayed inside the Holy Kaaba. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he slept inside the Hatim for a short while. After a while, Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salam awakened Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the well of Zamzam. And they open the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the lower part of his throat to the lower part of his abdomen, the chest is open. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart is taken out. And it is cleansed with the water of Zamzam, the best of waters. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest has been opened on a few times. And for the details of all these different times, hopefully inshallah you will refer to your Ummah or Qurana, and they will most happily be willing to tell you the details. But once it was opened, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only a child of 4. He was in the care of Halima Sa'diyah and Husban. And one day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his foster brothers. He was playing. All of a sudden Sayyidina Jibreel Amin came, took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could open his chest, and he took out the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took out a blood clot, saying, "Hada hazu shaytan min," this is a part of shaytan in thee. And then that heart was washed with snow and ice. And then this heart was restored in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the foster brothers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam run to their mother. "Ki Allah, our Quraishi brother has been killed, come quickly. Halima Sa'diyah, come rushing." On seeing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pale, they embrace Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this happened when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 4. This time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was open and the heart was washed with Zamzam. And it was done to create compatibility with the heavenly realm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens and above. Remarkable thing is, it is from these hadiths like this that 1400 years ago, Islam told us Muslims that heart surgery is possible. And that a person can live even when his heart is taken out. Because when the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken out, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still alive. 1400 years ago, Allahu Akbar, and it's something that has only been discovered in the last century or so in the so-called advanced countries of the Western world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart is washed with zamzam. And then a gold basin full of wisdom, iman, and belief and wisdom was brought. And this was poured in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was closed. Thereafter, an animal called a buraq was brought. Now a buraq is a special heavenly host. It is smaller than a mule, and it is bigger than a donkey, and it is white. The word buraq is derived from the root word baraqa. The word baraqa has an element of speed in it. This is why in Arabic you call lightning buraq, because it has an element of speed in it. And this buraq is so fast and moves so swiftly that if the next step is where he can see. This is how quick it is. And I normally say to my friends, you guys today, you know, you're all in these MR2s and these Lamborghinis or Subarus, and you're all killing some serious speed. If you like speed, then it's not Subaru that you want. It's one of these blocks. Let's see if you can handle one of them. And how good you really are. Now that serious speed, distance as far as the eye can see, that's just one step. How many hundreds and thousands of miles do you think this thing covers in a second? That's what you want to be riding. You want to get them in paradise. And guess what? Everybody's welcome anytime. You should stay together. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a buraq was brought. And he began to rattle his tail with pride. Now buraq is a thing which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam would not have Ibn Hajar relates in Fathul Bari. And he began to rattle his tail with pride. Sayyidina Jibreel asked the buraq, okay, why have you done this today? Nobody more dear than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ever ridden you. And there is nobody more dear to him than him in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the buraq began to sweat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote the buraq, and some hadith suggest that Sayyidina Jibreel also sat behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in the narration of Shaddad ibn Awth is mentioned that he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I was taken to a land in which there were many date trees. And when we got to this land, Jibreel told me to alight and offer two rakat nafl. I alighted and I prayed two rakat nafl. Jibreel then asked me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know when you have prayed? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied in the negative. Jibreel informed our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the land to where you will migrate. This is Madinah al-Munawwarah. So the narration suggests that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also taken to the land where Allah converted with the Musa alayhi wa sallam. He was also taken to the land where the Isa alayhi wa sallam was born. And in both places he was instructed by Jibreel that he should offer to Allah nafl there. Strange things Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown on the way. And for this you will have to look into the different narrations. But very briefly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across an old woman. And she was calling out upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel explained to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not pay any attention, continue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. As they went further, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across an old man, and again, he was calling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, Sayyidina Jibreel explained, came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continued, and again they continued. Later Sayyidina Jibreel explained that the old man that was calling you was the shaytan, and he had taken the form of an old man. And the old woman that was calling you was the dunya. The dunya had taken the form of an old woman. And this world has as many days left in it as much as this old woman has. And both the old woman and the shaitan were calling you to attract you towards the dunya and towards the shaitan and the wrongly thing. Some narrations suggest that on that night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw the Dajjal. Some narrations suggest that he saw the warden of hell, Malik. And some narrations suggest that on that night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw Hazrat Musa in his dream. Many things and many strange things Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown. And finally he was taken to Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. And the reason he was taken to Jerusalem was, this is the land of the prophets, and this is the land of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. And maybe he wants to teach people like you and me that today, who don't even know what Masjid al-Aqsa is. Maybe it was to tell you and I the significance of this place. You know, if Allah wished, why did Allah take a detour? If Allah wished, don't you think Allah could have taken Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to the heavens and above? Out of all the places of natural beauty in this world, and indeed the world of Allah is beautiful because it is made by Allah. And there are hundreds of places which have natural beauty. But out of all the places in the world, why did Allah choose Jerusalem to take our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that night? Why Jerusalem? What's so special about that place that Allah is taking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a detour before he takes him to the heaven, he's taking him to Jerusalem. Surely there must be something special about that place. In it, not only is this the land of the Prophet and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam and the land of revelation, there was an indirect indication that the Jews will be discharged of the office of leadership of mankind. And the holy sanctuary of Makkah and the furthest mosque in Aqsa, the holy site of the Abrahamic faith, they will be given not to the Jews, but they will be given to the true believers in the one Allah, the Muslims and the Mu'mineen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Jerusalem. He enters the masjid and he reads two rakat tahiyyat al-masjid. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam from the beginning of time till the end of time are in that place. Allahu Akbar, my brothers, do you still not realize how blessed this place is? There is only one place in earth, to my knowledge, where every prophet from the beginning of time till the end of time has assembled and been to at one time. That is only Masjid al-Aqsa. And they were there on that night, all in Masjid al-Aqsa, waiting. And the Adhan is called Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And after the Adhan, the Iqamah is called. And every prophet is in his line, in his role. And each is anxious, waiting. Yet who will lead the prayer? Who will lead the prayer? Can you imagine, guys? You know, if I was to call somebody in and out from the audience, and we honor him, how good he will feel amongst his friends that I'm the man. Can you imagine on that day, the cream of mankind, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, those chosen by Allah, from the beginning of time to the end of time, they have been assembled, the Adhan has been called, the Iqamah has been said, and Jibreel holds the hands of Rasulullah and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and puts him forward and says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this honor is only yours. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leads the prayer. And after the prayer, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, narration suggests that a glass of wine, a glass of water, a glass of milk, And some narrations suggest that a glass of honey was presented to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel Amin said, Yo Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, choose it, whichever you like. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the milk. And Jibreel said, Ya Fadl al-Fitra, you've chosen the right thing, the natural way. Had you chosen wine, then your ummah, your people would have deviated. And had you chosen water, then you would have drowned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank the milk. And now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to the heavens. The journey before it is called the Isra. And the journey after it, the journey to the heavens, is called the Mi'raj. And a staircase type thing is brought. Only Allah and Allah alone knows what this staircase was, how it looked like. But the thing is, this is through which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the seven heavens. What it was and how it looked like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But it was through this thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to heaven. You know, once upon a time people found it difficult to understand things like this. By the grace of Allah, today Allah has made it easy for people like you and me. Today we have stairs which move by themselves. Who could think once upon a time, you know, 500-600 years ago, if you say that he's looking, you know, stairs move, yeah, this guy's a plonker. He's lost it. Yeah? And today stairs move, escalators, they escalate. Today we have lifts. Seconds, hundreds of floors and we go. Maybe it was something like this. Allah Allah alone knows. Once upon a time people found it difficult to digest. How can a person leave the world? People can't believe this. But today, by the grace of Allah, by man going to space, to the moon, and now to Mars, and coming hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles in a short span of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us to understand the mi'raj of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was taken to the heavens, and there, all the Anbiya, and there, just like important guests are received by dignitaries, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the heavens was received by the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes with Jibreel to the first heaven, and Jibreel knocks on the door. You know, when I relate this to you, look how systematic everything is in this angel world. And how everything is done with a method and with and how it's done with perfection. He knocks on the door. The door, the warden asks, who is it? Jibreel. Who is with you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you been sent for? Yes. The door is opened. Now the angels welcome them. Kimarhaba marhaba, come. On the first heaven, they meet Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Jibreel introduces him. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your father Adam. Greet him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, greet him. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam responds, Marhaban bi sayyidina salih wa nabiyyi salih. Welcome to our pious son and a pious prophet. Now there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees souls to his right and souls to his left. And every time Hazrat Adam alayhi salam would look to his right, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam would smile. And every time Hazrat Adam alayhi salam would look to his left, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam would cry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel, so Jibreel, why does sometimes Adam cry and sometimes he laughs, smiles? Sayyidina Jibreel explained to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the souls on his right are the souls of paradise. And when Adam looks at the souls of paradise, it makes him happy and he smiles. And when Adam looks at the souls on his left, which are the souls of hell, it saddens him and he cries. They leave the first heaven, and again when they get to the second heaven, Jibreel knocks on the door. Who is it? Jibreel. Who are you coming with? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you been sent for? Yes. The door's open. Everything is done in a systematic way. Everything done is done with perfection. On the second heaven, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and his cousin Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greets them and they exchange the greetings. On the third heaven, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. On the fourth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. On the fifth, he meets Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. On the sixth, he meets Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And when he leaves, after greeting Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam wa salam begins to cry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel, why is Hazrat Musa alayhi salam crying? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam wa salam explained, I envy the ummah that has been given to such a noble personality after me. The people of this ummah will enter Jannah in far greater numbers than the people of my ummah. This is what makes me cry. On the seventh heaven, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam is leaning against the Baytul Ma'mur, the house of Allah in the seventh heaven. 70,000 angels enter this house on any one day, and they will not get another turn to the Day of Judgment. Can you imagine how many angels must Allah ask that from the day this house has been made, 70,000 angels enter and they will not get another turn till the Day of Judgment? How many angels do you think Allah must have? Trillions and trillions and trillions, billions of times as a human being. And if Ibrahim alayhi salam there, nice and cool, leaning against the Baytul Ma'mur, Sayyidina Ibrahim introduces him to greet him, your father. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greets him, and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam responds, Marhaban bil ibn al-Salih wa al-Nabi al-Salih, welcome to a pious prophet and a pious son. Now the question here is, and I'm not going to answer it, or else I'm going to be here till Isha, and I want to get home. Allah sent over 100,000 prophets. Well over 100,000 prophets. Why did Allah select the prophets that I've mentioned? Adam, Isa, Yahya, Yusuf, Idris, Harun, Musa, Ibrahim, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Why did Allah choose these prophets to receive Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why not Yaqub? Why not Ismail? And others, why not Luke? Obviously this is a question that I leave with you, so you can also do some work as I do before I come. And hopefully your ulama will assist you. Now after meeting the Prophet, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken to Sidratul Muntaha. This is a station on the seventh heaven. This is where everything comes to an end. This is why it's called Sidratul Muntaha. Everything from below stops here. Everything from above stops here before it is taken down and then before it is taken up. Nobody has ever been past this point. Not even Jibreel. And who is ignorant of the status of Jibreel in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even Jibreel has not passed that point, said the Munzaha. Allahu Akbar. On that day, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past that point. What do you think must be the status of our Prophet in the eyes of Allah? That where Jibreel Amin has not been, Allah on that day, no one takes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam past this. He shows him what nobody has ever seen before. Sidratul Muntaha is the low tree of the utmost boundary. And the leaves of this tree in the hadith are mentioned alike as big, wide as the ears of an elephant. That's how big the leaves are. And the fruit are like earthen pots. Big mudcake, for those who have been to Bangladesh, Pakistan, where they place the water, the big things. That's how big the fruits are. Can you imagine? And this tree, guys, is bigger than any tree that you will have ever seen. Millions of times bigger than any tree of this world. On the seventh heaven, and on that night, angels were shining on that tree like multitude of glowworms. See if you can picture this in your mind's eye. Sidratul Muntaha, millions of times bigger than any tree that you've seen in this world. Massive leaves, jocker fruit. Hundreds and thousands of angels are shining like multitude of glowworms on this. And moths are falling from above. Moths of gold, silver, turquoise, red, green. Allah knows the colors and their numbers. This is what the Quran says. is yaksha sidrata ma yaksha, when that covered the low tree that which covered it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, no human has the power, when that covered the low tree that covered it on that night, no human has the power to describe the beauty of that on that night. And can you imagine our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there, and he's looking at all this. It's remarkable. And if this was not enough, it is here where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Jibreel Amin in his true form. فَاسْتَرَى وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى. This is what the Quran refers to. In the highest part of the horizon, can you imagine seeing Jibreel Amin in his true form? It's impossible. The human mind cannot comprehend something like this. Jibreel Amin, his wings are bigger than the east and west put together. And can you imagine in the seventh heaven where Sidrat al-Muntaha is, the Lord tree of the Almost Boundary there, Jibreel Amin rises and reveals himself. Can you imagine what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw? Rubies and diamonds on his wings. I was in California once and they honored us by taking us to this place where these gigantic, massive trees, they're at least 15 foot wide. 15 foot wide, if I can remember that. Yeah, that's the truth, 15 foot guys. And they grow to about 300 foot. You know, when you saw one of them, it scares you. Seriously, the first time I saw one of them, I was terrified. So much so big. Oh, it wasn't a tree. That was Allah's creation. 300 foot high, 15 foot wide. And it's enough to terrify somebody like me. Can you imagine Jibreel Amin? Highest part of the horizon. His wings are bigger than the east and west. Allahu Akbar. And our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking at all this. Phenomenal! Absolutely phenomenal. Even on the summit of why the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was cleansed and repaired before he went, before he was taken to the heavens. And then he's taken to a plane where he can hear the pen writing. Have you seen the sound of the pen when you go like this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could hear the pen writing. The angels were copying the destinies from the preserved tablets. And then Nabi Kareem could hear this. How close do you think he was? And then, to top it up, heaven and hell. And he meets the warden of Al-Malik, who does not smile. And Jibreel explains, O Muhammad, since Allah created him, he has never smiled. If he were to smile at anyone, O Muhammad, he would have smiled at you today. And there, Nabi Kareem sees paradise, the blessings of paradise. He's seen hell, the people and inhabitants of hell. And if this was not enough on that night, authentic narration suggests that on that night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his eyes. Can you imagine? You know, the Lord tree, forget that. Jibreel Amin, forget that. You know, though our mind doesn't even comprehend that, but can you imagine seeing your Creator? And inshallah, you will all see your Creator. But you have to get to paradise to see Him. And it's open 24/7. But on that night, can you imagine what status our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has? That according to the ulama, Andara narration suggests that he did not see him, but the authentic narration suggests that on that night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah, and that's what it's all about, guys. It is all about the Lord of the earth and Kursi. This is what this game is all about, to please the master. And here, the master is calling the slave, Allahu Akbar. What's the status of that slave that has been called by this master? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah, however he was unable to describe or make a simile due to man's inability to understand such phenomena. And on that night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received three gifts. What these gifts were, again,
fine, but I'm going to do this because I've got 5 minutes to conclude. You will ask your ulama as to what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received these three gifts. Salah. Somebody give me dirt, let's go. Salah. Any believer that believes in the Almighty Allah will, and does not commit shirk, his major sins will be forgiven, meaning he will not stay in hell forever. And the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah were given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that night. And after this, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken to Masjid Al-Aqsa, and from there Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken to Makkah. Now when he got to Makkah before the morning, he related this to Abu Jahl, the jinn of heaven. Abu Jahl said to Muhammad, can you run in one night from Masjid Al-Haram to Masjid Al-Aqsa? Now in them days it took 1 month to get there and 1 month to return. How can you do this in part of the night? Will you relate this to your people if I told them? Now he didn't want to relate it himself because he felt that if Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed his mind, it made him look stupid. So he calls the Quraysh and he says, tell them what you told me. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam relates how Allah honored him. And they can't believe this, they can't digest this information. And they clap their hands and they hit their hands on their head. And they ask Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to describe the masjid, to catch Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out. And they began to ask Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam certain questions that one narration suggests. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they asked me certain things. I couldn't remember the answer. And how can a person just remember everything by seeing something just once? And they were asking questions to catch Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I became worried like never before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Masjid al-Aqsa and placed it before my very own eyes. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now tell them what you saw. Every question that they would ask, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look and he would give them the answer in full detail. And when they could not fork him, they now said, tell us the sign that you saw on the way. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to tell him the sign that he saw a caravan coming from Sham to Makkah, and how one of the camels of this caravan got lost and how they later found it. And how this caravan will get to Makkah in 3 days. And how a camel of such a color carrying such a load will be at the forefront. Everything that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said turned out just like he described, but still they refused to believe. And now they come to Abu Bakr to rattle and shake his iman. Oh Abu Bakr, do you know what your friend Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is claiming? He asked what? He claims that in one night he went from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and back. Oh Abu Bakr, do you believe him? And said Abu Bakr, said he killed Allah Ta'ala his life. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, then Muhammad has spoken the truth. And if Muhammad says more, then Abu Bakr believes him. Oh Qasim, I believe in things far greater than this. I believe in the revelation which comes every morning and every evening from heaven. And this is the title, time, when he received the title of Siddiq, the verifying of the truth. And I conclude with a final narration, a testimony of a Qasim of the night of Mi'raj. Ibn Kathir has related this in his tafsir that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote letters to the different kings inviting them to Islam, he wrote a letter to the Roman Emperor Heraclius. He received the letter, he received the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he wants to find out more about this topic. So he passes an order that every hour that has come to his land to trade should be assembled before him. Now one of those that was assembled before him was Abu Sufyan. He asked him many questions, and for these questions and answers you can refer to Sayyid al-Bukhari, they are in there. Now Abu Sufyan wanted to take an advantage of this situation and say something about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which made him look insignificant in the eyes of this great king. He said, the only thing that stopped me was I feared that I may end up saying something which turns out to be a lie and I'm humiliated and disgraced in front of this king. That is the only thing that stopped me from saying this, from making something up, and thereafter I feared that my people will always remember me as a liar, so I didn't say anything. When he says, then the thought crossed my mind, I will tell this king about his mi'raj, his journey of the heavens. And by this he himself will know that this man is lying. So he says, I said to the king, you know this man claims that in one night from Masjid al-Haram, he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, to his masjid of yours and returned. Now at the time with this king was standing the leading scholar of Ilya, Jerusalem, was standing right in second. And the leading scholar says, yeah, I know of that night. Now the king is shocked. How do you know of that night? And then he explains. He explains that every night it was my habit that before I went to sleep, I would close all the gates of Baitul Maqdis.
And he says, as per usual on that night, we closed every gate except for one. We tried and tried, but it was not closed. He says, I called all the workers. And they pushed and pushed. And it wouldn't close, it was like, as if we're pushing a mountain. The gate wouldn't close. He says, we called the carpenters and the technicians, and they looked at the gate. And the only explanation that they had to offer was, it seems that the weight of the building is resting on the panels of the gate. There's nothing that we can do tonight. We will come back tomorrow and we will have a look. They went to sleep the next day when the scholar came. He says, next to the rock, near this gate, there was a hole in the rock. Some narration suggests that Sayyidina Ibrahim put his finger there, and this is how, where they tied the mount. So there was a hole in the rock. And he says, it seems that somebody has tied something there, their mount. And then he explained to his people that the reason the gate did not close, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending one of his prophets to visit this masjid. And it seems that prophet prayed inside this masjid for Allah. This was a testimony of the Kaaba on the event of Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to understand and to realize and to practice upon what we have learned. Allah give me the tawfiq. Allah give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.